like Louis Armstrong. Play the trumpet, I'll hit that bong and break you off something soon. I got to get my props. Cops, come and try to snatch my crop.
Welcome to the Windy Hill Windsock. With me, The Solution, and joining me today is The Architect.
G'day, mate. How's it going?
I'm well, mate. How are you?
I can't complain too much.
It's good to hear. We've got your son here, the Windsock 2000. Welcome, Windsock.
G'day, Solution. G'day, Daddy.
You guys need to talk more. With us is Fiona.
Hi, guys.
How you going?
Yeah, nothing could have derailed my weekend. What about you?
No, it was good from Friday night. And with us,
hey!
Live from the car, he's doing this because he knows he's on thin ice. And trust me, if you're Jez's size, you don't want to be on thin ice. It's Jez. What are you driving from going? The Uber? Things that bad.
No, look, I didn't quite make it home yet. I've come from Portland this afternoon, and I just got the sense from some of the things I heard on Fiona's forecast and some of the things I read on the chat that if I didn't pull over at this service station just outside Werribee right now and get on, that I'd be castigated and perhaps kicked off forever.
I wouldn't go that far, but I didn't know you were travelling. Otherwise, I would have wouldn't have been so harsh with you. But if you wind your window down for a second, just wind your window down, and just breathe in that shit air. Smell that poo farm. That was our footy last week against Port that you're smelling. But no, well done for joining, Jez. Feel free to jump off. By the way, it's just good to see you alive. So fantastic win. We're all pumped. 2 weeks ago, we were feeling the same. Last week, we were all in the doldrums and the season was over. This week, we're happy. Is it going to be the same next week? What is our club doing to our nervous systems here? Who wants to start? Jez, you start, because you might drop off soon.
Well, man, I missed the top four and we're on track. What's the problem?
I tell you what. If we make top four, you're a genius.
Any chance I can get a copy of your workings out or the how you've got to that, just so I can not panic?
Oh, ye of little faith.
Oh, we can't hear you, mate. You've gone quiet. But I was going to say, I don't want the copy of your workings out. I just want the phone number of your dealer.
Yeah, no. It's all good to see it coming to fruition.
Okay. Well, that's from you. What about you, Windsock 2000? What are we doing? What's going on?
I don't know what to expect every single week. I was pretty confident that they were going to do a number on us. And then really we played a pretty complete game. They got on top of us maybe for 10, 15 minutes in the second and we dominated the rest of it. So I'm up now. Can't see us losing another game.
What about you, Architect? What's happened to Windsock 2000's programming?
I think you need to be reset, Windsock. I don't know. We're going a win loss kind of run at the moment. I'm hoping that doesn't bode poorly for Adelaide this week.
Yes, same here. Just for listeners who can't see, so Jez now has a hat on, an Essendon hat, and he's got like headphones. You literally look like the guy in the drive-thru right now.
Yeah.
I'm gonna order a meal deal of some description. Fiona, give us some sense.
Oh, I just think if the depression had not been so acute from last week, I just think we just would not be feeling the elation that we feel after Friday night. So I don't know, was that Brad Scott's best win with us? I feel like that was a really strong four-quarter complete performance. I feel like it could be one of our best under him. I don't know.
Dream time last year.
That was a good finale, but I feel like the form was up and down. I felt maybe for, as you said there, you know, in the second, things got a bit hot for a minute, but I felt like we had it under control for most of the game.
I do want to say one thing. I saw a comment from an opposition supporter who said Essendon got lucky because both St Kilda and the Bulldogs kicked poorly and they should have been well behind. You do realise, like, our good kicking is not, it's not some arbitrary, it's not like umpiring decisions where it's just a toss of a coin. We're actually kicking well. Like, that's good football. Good kicking is good football, so that person can sit down and shut the fuck up.
I think you also have to put on top of that solution that is that once you kick a goal, you go back to the centre, and what are we in the competition at the moment? The number one clearance team from centre?
Yep.
And how are we number one after last week?
I don't know if we're still number one after last week, though. Before last week, we were definitely number one. Easily we would have dropped a few keel last week, but I reckon we jumped back up after Friday night. But I also think, how many games have we lost from inaccuracy in the past decade? We've done that. Bad kicking is bad football. We've lost plenty of games where we've kicked poorly and we kicked ourselves out of the game. It has to go hand in hand.
Very true. Well, we're just gonna go to some awards, and then that'll let us meander into the game by talking about the best players and the worst players. Jez, I'm gonna let you do the herd, given you're the captain of this, of the positive side. And then feel free to drop off, because I feel bad that I've kind of guilted you into pulling over. You do have family to get home to. Bad luck too, Carlton losing. I know your wife lost, but your mistress girlfriend did lose. So I know that's
a very bittersweet weekend. Very bittersweet.
Yeah. But you're going to do the herd.
I thought that's why you're in the car.
So can you see the doona in the back there?
Oh, things are going badly. Look, if anyone has a place for a guy who's probably 6'4" and a really nice guy, but he'll just drink your fridge dry, contact us on the podcast, because Jez may be homeless. So you do the herd, Jez, and I'm going to get Architect. You can do the Henneman. But Jez, take your time, because I reckon everyone from the skipper down, there's a lot of players that deserve a lot of praise.
Sure. Well, I know who I'm going to give it to, so I've got to work out who else played well. Just bear with me for a tick. Oh, yeah. Okay. I love Desmond's game, and I love Desmond's goals in particular. I mean, I just thought he was fantastic, got my blood flowing.
Can we just pause on Desmond?
Sure.
Who else is surprised? I am with how well, like, I didn't expect that kind of game from him. I expected a guy who can run both ways, maybe provide some decent outside type contributions, but I never thought he'd be a significant influence. But that game we saw Friday was beyond my expectations.
It was incredible. I think two-way running, like, he's an absolute incredible two-way runner. Some of the tackles that he did were just,
I was going to say, ripping. Just on that, like, on the tackles, I reckon his tackling technique is almost one of the best over the you know, we've got 5 weeks of data to assess, and I reckon his tackling has been absolutely first class. Sorry to interrupt you there, Winsock.
No, 100% agree. Like, and those are the kind of things that kind of galvanizes a team or gets them up and going, a ripping tackle. So yeah, been really happy. I think his first week was a little quiet, but he's really coming into a bit of form for sure, and definitely deserves a mention.
Fantastic trade, I think.
Mate, all the trades. Yeah.
Free agency, gave up absolutely zip, kept all our trade hand. Needed to spend the money in our cap anyway. Like, absolute genius getting them all across the line. Goldie was superb. The thing I am a bit surprised about there is I didn't know he had that. His first goal, that was a Jake Stringer type distance and angle. I didn't know he had that in him. That I will admit. I did not know he had that kind of goal in him. That was superb.
You got a very, very pure kick.
I said last week, every time I see that 28, Jez, who do you think of?
Bloody.
No, I go back further. Just because of the way he moves a little bit.
Really?
I think Paul Weston.
Right.
The blonde hair. But anyway, continue on.
Now, one out of left field, but I just want to get this out of the way so that Fiona doesn't sit there squirming.
Yeah, I'm just here for the Jake Kelly love, and then I'm out.
I mean, we on this pod, but also more broadly, Essendon generally love to hate Cody Waitman. And I know someone gave Bont a bath, but Jake Kelly just kept Cody out of the screen, out of the game. Like, he was just totally ineffective and ineffectual. And that is not usual. Usually Waitman is a real problem for us. And there was a lot of talk going into the game about, you know, they've got this Ugal, Hagen, Darcy, Norton triple threat up forward. But Waitman, for me, was always going to be a problem, and he was unsighted.
And he started, I've watched every Bulldog game, every four games they've played, four games, however many they've played, he's in very good form. It's not that he's been quiet and he was an easy kill. He's in very, very good fucking form.
Yep. And on that, just moving to the next one, on that triple threat, Ben McKay was always going to get one of them, and I think he got Norton. I don't know who he got. I think it was Norton, whoever it was. You know, he did a fantastic job. Mm-hmm. I thought he had an awesome game.
Yeah, I reckon he was close to best on for me, because in the second, I think he really stood up. He was intercepting. He was clean with his possession coming out of the back line. And we were under some serious pressure, and he was the coolest cat out there.
Mm. Yeah, I reckon the only thing, if I had to complete him to make him the perfect defender, I wish he had the sort of long, penetrating, Fletch-like kicks. He really, his default mode is the 15-metre kick backwards to a smaller guy. But that's just nitpicking, really.
He's playing within his capabilities.
Yeah, that's right.
Which is good, rather that than him hack it and then it comes straight back.
A quick shout out to the guy who just walked past me and had a real good stare at me in the car sitting in this get up doing this. I want to give
the next one.
Yeah, he's calling the cops.
Lock the doors.
It wouldn't be the first time I've had a dealing with them in the last few days, unfortunately. Now
you've been speeding, mate.
No. The next one I want to call out is one of your boys' solution. How good was Harry?
Mate. People don't know, people may know this. Fiona has this little, I almost feel like she's cheating on us on the podcast with her little Twix sort of ladder that she's got going on the side. Twitter followers would know. And I said 3 weeks ago, literally 3 weeks ago before the game, I said, Harry, redemption arc starts today.
You put all your money, you put all your chockies on Harry Jones.
I did. And since that time.
And I laughed.
You know, it's the classic Peter Wright. You know, his loss is a blow, but it's given this guy an opportunity, and he suddenly realised, oh, I will play twos unless I just give 100% effort. And the rewards are coming thick and fast. He's kicking goals. He's taking marks. He's up and down the ground. He's tackling. He's pressuring. It's a different player, and I'm so, so happy. And I think when Peter Wright comes back, suddenly that's a potent forward line.
He's believing in his ability now. You can see he's using the endorphins from, you know, from his good performances, and he's seeing what comes, the fruition that comes from actually putting in 100% effort consistently, and he's feeling the adrenaline from it. And it's no surprise that he's backing it up now, because, as you said, he knows that his spot is hanging on by, it's in his own hands, put it that way.
Yep. Keep going, Jess.
Okay. How many more do you want?
Can I give one special shout, please?
Sure.
I mean, this is an obvious one, but I don't think it's been quite given as much attention as the job Durham did on Bont is, and that's Caldwell on Libba. Last week, Liberatore against Geelong, which they almost won the game, scored over 90 points. Last week, he had 20 clearances by himself. 14 stoppage clearances. Guess how many he had on Friday night? Four clearances, and he still had quite a few pressure acts, but nowhere near as effectual. He had four stoppage clearances. Not only did Caldwell minimise his damage, but he got on the scoreboard. He was helping out the other mids. Mm. He was running, he was pressuring, he was tackling. He had an absolutely elite game, and I just felt a bit sorry for him today. All the love went to Durham, which obviously he was the best on for mine, but no mention of Caldwell on Libba, because as good as Bont is, Libba is almost as damaging in the centre and at clearances. So,
wasn't he made to eat dirt too by Stringer with that tackle?
Oh, yeah.
I think I watched that goal. I watched that goal about 50 times, I reckon, on the little AFL app, because it starts with the Stringer tackle on Libba and ends up with Dersma, who does the big bow and arrow. It's great. Brilliant.
Yeah. It was the perfect.
Jai was going to be the next one I mentioned, but that's great that you've wrapped him up, because I put him just a short half head behind this week's does. Yeah. I was watching the game with a mate down in Portland, and as soon as that siren went, we just thought, you know, does was the difference in the end, because it wasn't just the stopping job that he did. He didn't get heaps and heaps of the ball, but my goodness, what he did with it. It was so clean. His kicks were beautiful. He used the ball so well. And to keep Bont to five possessions in the second half and be damaging himself was just so good to watch. He's just a great kid. We're so lucky to have him. And it was his really, I thought it was his greatest moment at the club. That whole game was fantastic.
Yeah, you're cutting out a bit, Jez. I wonder that those Werribee power grids are getting all the hydroponic setups are sucking the power away from the telephone towers. But yeah, it's a really good point.
Did you hear who I gave to? Does, yeah?
Yes, yes. And we're crying out for a bigger body midfielder. And this is a guy who last year couldn't lay a tackle, by the way. He had the Mr. Tickle arms. Just couldn't seek a tackle. And yet, here he is, bossing his opponents.
My biggest criticism of his midfield move was he just lacked a bit of that composure. It was just a bit of a way where a kind of handball scoop out to no one and then to nothing. But, yeah, he absolutely proved me wrong Friday night, and I do want to see him go on with it. But his composure, his kicking, his use of the ball was so – every possession was almost so meaningful and so – such a big addition to the actual performance. It actually had a great impact. I was pleasantly surprised, because otherwise he's a big body. He imposes himself. He's tough. Just doesn't care about his own safety at times. So he ticks all those boxes. But it was just that final composure, and he was a complete player. I dare say he's going to get a bit more attention going forward from opposition, if he continues to perform like that.
I just wonder whether or not it's a change of role, being out on the wing. Yeah, there was lots of space in trying to stop someone a full flight versus him standing on someone's toes, because he was all over Bont. Like, from the get-go, I haven't seen it in a long time, an Essendon player really work another player over, and he was on him from the first bounce, like body on body. I think we've really lacked that in the last few years.
It wasn't like a hard tag. That was the thing. He was very clever in the way when he'd body him to start off, but then he'd look for his own ball and he'd try and impact whatever was going on. He wasn't playing a negating role at all. And I think Caldwell did similar as well. He found a fair bit of his own ball. So it was like both of them. I mean, it's kind of disturbing how they haven't been in the midfield for longer.
I do think we should shout out the captain, because I reckon in the first quarter, second quarter, and like Merritt was keeping us in it. He just does it every week and you kind of just take it for granted. But I thought he was excellent. Anybody else that needs a mention before we move on?
I thought Hobbs was significantly better. There was a low bar, let's be honest, after last week, but I thought he was very good. Pressure had a really good amount of pressure acts. His spinning out of congestion was very good. So that's just a little tick for him. He kicks that goal. It's a great game. So, and generally he would, to be honest. He's got a good kick for goal. But, heaps better.
Yep. Now, there's a bunch of names. Cox, I think you could mention, had a better game as well.
He was good. Very good moments.
Played more of a wing type of role than sitting in defence the whole game.
Well, he was not directly matched up on an opponent, so he wasn't directly... Like, it would have been easy for them to match him up on Darcy, given that he didn't give away so much height as Redmond did. So it would have been easy to just give him that role. He would have, let's be honest, he's not a one-on-one defender, so he would have got killed. So I think it was a smart coaching move.
Just talking on that Redmond-Darcy matchup, was that comical, right? That was Scott taking the piss. Because Redmond was tiny in comparison, standing next to him. He had no chance.
Seemed to work, though. I mean,
I thought it was going to hurt us more, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how it works, but it seemed to. Redmond probably had his best game for the year, and that's probably off a pretty low bar as well. But it's good to see him have a positive game with a ridiculous matchup.
Mm. Yeah, and I must say, having both Stringer and Langford in the forward line, like, I do think they give opposition defenders nightmares, those two, just because they know that they have to play them really closely, otherwise they'll probably score goals. And that little like left foot snap, like Stringer can just make something out of nothing. He just changes the whole complexion of our forward line and therefore team, I think. And again, he's another one we kind of take it for granted.
Yeah, we also didn't mention Goldstein. He was wonderful, brilliant. Mm. Tim English is like the most sought after free agent, as in being in great form, and he redeemed himself beautifully, Toddy.
Yeah, well, we've nearly mentioned the whole team, which doesn't give the architect a lot of room to move. There is a guy on a hat trick of Henneman's, so the Henneman Award architect. Have you got some nominees?
I do, but I will say it was much harder this week than it would have been last week to kind of pull a name out of the hat in this regard.
No, it was harder last week, trust me, because there was a Melbourne Cup field. You had to try and pick a winner.
Maybe it was as simple as pulling a name out of a hat. This week it was it's definitely much a smaller field. So in it again is our mate. Again, very quiet. He didn't have much.
Are you going to nominate? Like, you've been doing this for a long time. You do the nominations, then you talk to the winner.
All right, okay.
Do I have to write this down for you? Or do you want to get to... you want to go to a tattoo?
You say you run this show, but clearly you don't. all right, so, right. So the first nom, and again, I'd put this one that might seem a bit weird, but I'm going to put him in there because I have much higher standards for him than a lot of other players on the team. So Parrish, for me, was a bit ordinary for the amount that he gets paid and kind of the seniority among the team. I would expect much more of him. He was quiet. A lot of his kicks kind of went up in the air and kind of went nowhere. So for me, he was very under par from what you'd normally expect from him.
Well, yeah, and he's 3 weeks now of pretty poorish output, so he needs to turn it around quickly.
Yes. After seeing Horn Francis come back after a week out or a hamstring injury, like, I'm sorry, but can we give the excuse of, oh, he's only been back for a week, 2 weeks? Like, how good was Horn Francis last week after a layoff? So I'm not sure we can lay that, we can start, keep using that for Parrish.
No, I agree.
He needs to find some form. Needs to find some form.
Around the ground, he's just not that good. He's given us absolutely nothing. And when you see Caldwell and Durham, and I'd probably want to see a bit more Hobbs have a go in the middle. What's he in the team for?
Yeah, that worries me.
Well, he's in the team to...
I'd bring in Sardis. 100%.
Like what? You're dropping Parrish?
Yeah.
What?
I was going to... if I was doing the award, he would have got it.
Hanging judge. Okay, so Parrish nominated.
Yep. The only other one for me, and it's our poor mate Menzies. I'm just going to put a caveat. I'm not going to say Hind because he played only 1.5 quarters of football, so I don't think that's enough to hang him out. In saying that, he didn't actually do much. But
at what point does Hind? If Hind's a sub 4 games in a row, and therefore plays 4 quarters, can we then give him a Henneman?
You can give him the monthly Henneman for 4 quarters over a period of a month.
Okay,
sure.
Okay. Good. Next week,
there's a chance. But poor old Menz. He's
And what did you call him, by the way?
Yeah.
Menzie.
Yeah,
the man.
No, Menzie. I don't think you did. I think you called him Menzies before.
Fortunately, there's only one of them, but anyway.
There's not a big one. Yeah, so for me, it's Menzie. He's just not giving enough. You know, you kind of expect a small forward to be doing those pressure acts, and Elwyn Davies come in, and he absolutely showed him up. You know, he's had a handful of games, and Menzie's got a couple of years on him. You'd expect more. He's just not pulling his weight in the team.
You know what this means, Fiona, if he's picked again this week?
He
wins the Houdini Award as well.
Nah, we're going to change it up, man.
For the escape. That's 3 Hennemans in a row.
Jeez, did you award him the Henneman?
No, he's won 3 Hennemans in a row.
No.
I'll throw it out to the rest of you, unless you've got someone else that you can argue and change my mind.
Oh, so it was just the one nomination, just Parrish and him?
That's it.
Oh, okay. I don't know about Draper's game yet, again.
Yeah.
Jez, you want to pot someone?
Hopefully my audio is still okay.
Yeah, better.
Yep. Elwyn looked like he had two left hands for the first half. He was fumbling and stumbling, and to his credit, he was better. I didn't think he was awesome. But one of our players got pantsed. Who was it? Lav. Ugel Hagen was best on ground, I reckon.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, but I think isn't he almost excused by the size difference?
No, Lav spent multiple years being our number one defender. He should have been able to cope with Ugel Hagen, but he was just trailing
him. Ugel Hagen was taking one-handers like Buddy Gary Ablett out there. He wasn't.
He almost took mark of the century.
You know what? Sorry to interrupt. That was the correct decision. It was not a mark. And similarly, Gary Ablett Sr. did not mark it either. That should have that shouldn't have been paid either. But anyway, digression.
I just thought he got pantsed. He was trailing him all night. He was just made to look second rate. Ugel Hagen sometimes was taking marks like with no physical impediment from Lav. And I just thought he got pants. I've also got him for Henneman of the Year, and he needs to get on the scoreboard. So I would have been very close to picking him. I just think Menzie, you know, it's always the great philosophical debate, isn't it? Do you give the Henneman to someone who's done nothing or someone who's done something and got it very wrong? Yeah.
They pushed Menzie up the ground. He was in on the wing and in the back line a little bit, and I thought he was better. I won't say he was good, but he was better. They got him in the game. Again, it's a low bar.
Dude had 4 possessions. How was he in the game with 4 buzzies?
One tackle.
Pressure. Yeah. Oh, hey, again, Jez is right. Do you give it to someone who performed badly but was in the screen a lot, or do you give it to someone who barely showed up? Because Laverty cost us goals. Ugel Hagen was laughing at him. It wasn't until Kelly got in his face and pushed him around a bit and told him to settle down after he missed that goal. Laverty didn't put any body on him whatsoever, and he walked tall for the entire game.
I think
Waitman and Norton have both been in very good form and got absolutely pantsed by Mackay and Kelly. Laverty, he would have been my pick.
Yeah, it's a pick your poison scenario, yeah. I think, but I can't argue with Menzies. Four possessions. And the thing about Davey has athleticism. That's the difference between him and Menzies. So he can get separation. He can put a tackle on. He found that bit of space, took the mark, and then kicked the goal after a 50-metre penalty. I'm not seeing Menzies get that separation. And so I'd much rather just persevere with Davey. I think he'll get better as he goes. Jez, you had your hand up.
I was just going to say, can I be excused now?
Yes, you can. Well done.
Thank you. Well done. Good to be back.
Just wind the windows up. Don't wind them down. Don't stop any traffic lights as you go through Werribee. Godspeed.
Thank you. Okay, team. Well done. Go Bombers.
Bye, Jez.
Thanks, mate.
I think just on Alwyn, just before we kind of wrap that up, and the kind of comparison, do you go with Alwyn, do you go with Menzies? I think Alwyn probably didn't have many tackles either. But I think I don't have the numbers or anything, but I feel like his pressure was better. Like he was on the tail of players or, you know, giving them a little nudge when they kicked it. He just seemed to be impacting a little bit more.
His obvious lack of size and is going to frustrate a lot of us because he missed quite a few tackles and he got outbodied very easily. But that's, you just got to cop that as he's growing and learning. And I thought, he did build into, so his second half was good. First half,
he did a rundown. I think it ended up being a push in the back, but he did a rundown for like 25 metres to put pressure on the exit out of our forward 50. And you don't see Menzies doing that type of activity. So for me, he's got much more upside than Menzies.
But did Davey do better because Menzies was in the team? Like, is there a place for both of them? Or when I say both of them, like, did we do so well because there was an extra small pressure player in the team?
No, I wouldn't say that because I don't think Menzies did anything positive.
Sorry. It's quite interesting going into the game with three small boards. Isn't it?
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
Maybe it's not.
Well, maybe that's why...
We never do it, but...
No. But maybe that's why Menzies was coming up the ground so much.
But, yeah, which I think helped, to be honest. But maybe I'd like to see a bit more of it and see how it unfolds. But yeah, it's certainly... I would certainly prefer at this stage Hind to be taking the Menzies role. I want to see Hind in a full game there as the small forward with Davey. I just want to see it. I want to see it. We haven't seen it this year. I just want to see it. And if it's a no-go, it's a no-go.
Listeners can't see, but the Winsock 2000 is laughing.
And shaking his head at me.
We've seen enough, haven't we?
No, you've seen him a sub. We've got to give him his due and let him...
Give him a chance to win the Henneman fair and square, Winsock.
Yeah, well, yeah, good point. I felt sorry for him because he's a sub. And then the first thing that happens after the game is he gets accosted by Brian Taylor, who then proceeds to find out that he's a plumber and then says, is he building his own house? And he said, no, mate, I'm a plumber. Like, I know Brian Taylor's listening to his producer tell him who's what, but... Yeah, maybe Hind doesn't deserve to win the Henneman just for that. No. For that alone.
I reckon if we're doing a deity, I'm going to give it to Zach Merritt's mum, who said to Brian Taylor, who said the media were absolutely horrendous. I thought it was, I don't know what her words were, but it was very funny. So Zach Merritt's mum, nailed it. She took the media to town.
And then VT was very quick to disassociate himself from the media and said, well, we're the broadcasters, not the media.
Which, in fairness, like, true, but, that was funny.
Well, any other comments on the game before we move on?
Can I just say it's a mixed one, right? So it's a douche nomination on the game. It's the groundsman. It's like, how did they fuck up the turf that much? Like, players fall over and there's a divot the size of a goddamn crater on the side of the moon in the forward line. It's like... Players of both sides are falling over. I don't know what they've done, but they absolutely fucked up the turf. Something shocking.
Didn't they water it as
well? Overcorrected.
Was it because they had the curtain raiser?
They were slipping over in the very foul. I watched that.
Were they?
Okay. Yep.
It seemed like they must have watered it in between the games or something. I'm not sure if they did.
It's so funny. At the halftime break, they go to obviously Fox. And Nathan Buckley goes, yeah, it's been a good game in slippery conditions. I thought to myself,
yeah,
we're up to the roof indoors. It shouldn't be slippery conditions. This is why we have a controlled environment with a roof.
Did anyone go to the game? No, so we can't confirm or deny that they turned the sprinklers on at halftime.
No, it wouldn't surprise me. But I know that divot, that's the size of the Mariana Trench, that fucking divot.
Mm.
And the sooner we get off this concrete slab with a bit of green painted on top and get back to the MCG, the better. But
Team Marvel. Love it. Stay at Marvel. All the games at Marvel.
The G doesn't seem too much better this year, to be honest.
Exactly. Taylor Swift, hello.
Yeah, Taylor Swift end.
I'm just a bit worried. And it's playing in my mind because I'm ridiculous, but it is playing in my mind.
Let's talk it out here. This is what we're here for.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. I brought my baggage here. I'm just worried, and I feel very sick about on the concept of dropping Goldstein for Anzac Day. It's just too cruel. He's been so good for us, and it's like he probably doesn't have another year in him. And he barracked for Essendon as a kid, and it's just like all the stars aligning, and he just deserves to play Anzac Day. But Jones is in such good form that had he dropped Jones? But then
Because
2 meter Peter's coming back, and he comes in straight away, and you can't have all those falls.
Do you drop Jones in good form?
No, they're not going to drop Draper unless he's injured. Like, they're just not going to do that. But here's my thing. Maybe we just drop Jones because Jones has got heaps more Anzac Days in him. And Goldstein probably, yeah, you're shaking your head, but he's going to play many more Anzac Days. So maybe he just sits this one out for Goldie. And that's my rant.
I would hope they pick the best team for the day. I don't know that there's... it's necessarily going to be the case that Goldstein will be dropped. But you know what?
How do you get them?
Well, Brad Scott played two ruckman and 2 meter last year multiple times.
No, but then Jones gets dropped. Jones or Goldie is my point. And Jones is in such good form.
They're two very different players. Jones is a centre-half forward who's playing up the ground, who's running a lot. I'd say them as two different players.
Doggies played four talls.
But is Norton's not considered a super tall?
It's not short.
You can't have Draper and Goldstein, one of them resting forward with Peter Wright as an additional, and Jones. That is way too heavy.
Yeah,
and
you know
Hollywood. That's chunky.
No, look, I think it's a fair point. It would be really harsh on Goldstein to drop him.
You know,
sorry, big fella, bad luck.
No, no.
You should have played for Essendon earlier.
No, sorry. That is not an option. Any other option, 2 meter Peter comes in, is it a lock? Goldstein has to play. I'm sorry. My heart just will not let that. And if he was playing badly, you could mount a case for him to be dropped. But he is playing very well.
I don't think it's a fait accompli that he'll be dropped.
Mm-hmm.
So then your guy Jones gets dropped.
Draper could get dropped. I don't agree either. Could be Draper.
Yeah. On form, Draper deserves to be dropped. But unless he's injured, they're not dropping him for Anzac Day. No way.
All right, we shall see. We shall see.
No, I need it. None of you have put my mind at ease or my little heart at ease. This is supposed to be therapy. I'm supposed to walk away with less baggage.
I would hate to think we lost by a point because we wanted to give a guy a game that he might not play again.
Like,
that would never factor into
Derek Kickett in 1993 had been a star for Essendon and had been a star up until about round 12 or 13 and then did not touch the ball for the next 10 rounds plus finals and got dropped for the grand final. It was cruel. He never set foot in the club again. It's just bad luck. These are the decisions you have to make. They're football.
Yeah, but Goldie's in good form. It's not like you made a case for him. Draper's the one who technically doesn't deserve the spot, but he's not getting dropped.
So how is Harry Jones dropped?
Because he's got plenty more Anzac Days in him. So
that's what I'm saying. You're choosing a non-football reason for why Harry Jones would be dropped. And I would
only
say,
because Draper's not going to get dropped on his name.
You're dropping a player in absolutely red hot form as well.
Is Goldie. Goldie's in red hot form.
But I'm sure there's other players in the team that are playing poorly that you could say, well, they're more likely to drop someone else other than
I'd rather Goldstein in the forward pocket as the small forward than Menzies. Yeah. There you go. Problem solved. All right. Moving on.
You guys are just not okay. I'm gonna go join the Carlton podcast guys that we watched when they lost last year. I'm gonna go join that pod, see if they help me.
Well, good segue, because we're now going to go around the grounds. And there were some close games, and none closer. Oh, no, there was. Was there a one-point game or 2 points?
I think there was a one-point.
It was a one, two, and three.
Oh, yeah, that was the Giants beating the Saints. Good. Happy to see St Kilda lose. And the Blues lost by 2 points.
Oh, the horror.
Yeah, what do we think?
It was marvellous.
Yeah, it was great. I loved it. That's a reason to turn on the footy in the last 5 minutes and watch a game for two teams you don't support or care about.
Yeah, and the Eagles got up and won as well. Had a win and beat the Tigers.
It's all right.
No other comments? Move on.
No, good to see Hawthorn get their ass handed to them. That was great.
Yeah, so where are they on the ladder now?
Division 2 summer, I think.
Oh, look at that. They're equal bottom with North Melbourne. How would you be as a Kangaroos fan? Like, I was talking to a guy I work with he said, we've won one game in 26 and that cost us the pick one.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. Like, I watched the West Coast game just before. You build a team around Harley Reid. He is a generational player. You build a team around him. He's got captain written all over him. He is classy. He's a genuinely like grounded kid. He's embraced the love of AFL up there. He's embraced the club. He's not going nowhere. They could lose every game from here on out. And you could just tell.
But Sam McClure said, go on, pick him. Smugly.
West Coast is absolutely not going to pick Harley Reid. That's what he said. He is a blight on, not just on football, not on the industry, on humanity in general, that man. I don't know what, something went wrong in his upbringing because he is just not right.
There's no way he's that, like, offensive in person, like in his day-to-day life.
You reckon?
Surely that is an act.
If he was, his nose would be rearranged on his face because he'd get punched multiple times a day.
I just think he's got no friends, like, as if you put up with it. That egomaniacal nature, like, the smugness, ugh, it gives me the ick. It really does.
I'm sure he went to a good private school and is, well-connected with people in AFL circles.
Yeah, the ones who tell him that West Coast are absolutely not going to take Harley Reid, yeah. Because they think he's a clown as well.
Yeah, he's a good player. Oof. Kangaroos. They'll probably get another priority pick, as we've said. All right, well, we're going to move to the next game. So last week I was dreading being on Friday. I wanted us to be hid away 1 o'clock Sunday. Now I'm like singing that song. What's the song? It's Friday then, Saturday, Sunday. What? It's Friday then. And we're playing Adelaide. And I think we win. I'm just
We go again. Why am I getting deja vu? This is what we did.
I know.
Last week. We came into, we were all happy. And then we all tipped us against Port Adelaide. And that was a fucking disaster.
But, Adelaide's not Port Adelaide. They have more teeth and less good players. And they've got one win. And we also, against the Saints, that was a win on emotion and very difficult to replicate. I think we can replicate what we saw in the second half far easier. So I'm going for a win. What do we think? Architect.
I think we win as well. This is going to be the week where we break the win-loss pattern. And Adelaide have been nice enough to get their win out, their one win out of the, for the year out of their system against Carlton. So they'll be emotionally drained because they've thrown everything at Carlton and the kitchen sink. So I'm hoping that we rock over there and we show them how to play football exactly as we did against the Doggies and just pressure them.
Fiona, what are the dangers we need to worry about with this Adelaide team?
Their ball movement was much better. The second that they got Isaac Rankin and Rochelle on the ball in the middle, their team looked completely different. Their ball movement was quick, whereas in the first few weeks it's been very stagnated. They've got, you know, Tex Walker looked like he was back in some good form, so Ben Mackay will hopefully power him up. Because
they seem to be moving it a bit more like last year.
Yes, which is what got them on the cusp of the eight. So they were back to that.
One of the highest scoring teams, weren't they?
Were the highest scoring team. Yes, definitely up in that echelon. Their ball movement. I've always thought that they're stacked in the, like, they've got a dangerous forward line. I rate Rochelle very highly, even though he does drink his own bathwater a bit. But I love Fogarty. I've been the biggest fan of Fogarty since I wanted to recruit him back in the day when he was in the VFL. So I'm a big fan of him. I think he can kick, talking about kicking big goals, he can kick them from everywhere, far out. He's got a big leg on him. So I'm a bit worried about Laverty matching up on him. Oh, God.
Yeah, I've got to stop you there. Is that a gorilla on the behind you, Winsock 2000?
Yeah. That's King Kong.
King Kong, okay.
Yeah, got him in Universal Studios back in the day.
Love it.
Good visual for a podcast.
Sorry, Fiona, I stopped you in a roll.
No, that's all right. Yeah, I was just going to say, yeah, worried about that Fogarty matchup. But, I'm going to tip a loss by 4 points.
What?
Ooh. Yeah. I reckon they'll continue their good form. Is it Brad Crouch or which Crouch is it? Matt Crouch. He got suspended, so that'll be one less big body in the midfield that we have to worry about, which is positive because he's their big-bodied mid. Rochelle, Isaac Rankin and Laird are all quite small mids, so he's kind of their big body, and Dawson, who's their captain. So that's one less thing we have to worry about. And I highly rate O'Brien, which is their ruck. So Goldie and Draper will have to be on top of their game too, because I really rate him, and he'll run and work till his feet fall off. So yeah, I'm going a loss.
Okay, and you've given the score, which is a bit premature, because I was just going to ask firstly before we give the final scores, Winsock 2000, any changes you foresee? Can we just drop Menzie now? Can we put him out of his misery so he doesn't win a fourth? If he wins four Hennemans in a row, it is record breaking.
Yeah, I think Menzie out. I think I seriously want to drop Parrish. I wasn't joking before. Like, I actually want to drop Parrish and bring Tardis for someone with more run and more flexibility. And I don't know why I can't.
Yeah, I agree.
Because I'm telling you, you can't.
And how did Shield go in the VFL?
He was good, but just, like, lost steam. He was blown hard, yeah. But he looks slick, which is good. Just going to need a few. And he's you know, against VFL players, so he should look slick. But he's blowing, yeah.
I don't know if you heard that, Fiona. Winsock 2000 said he always looks slick. He does. Slick with a capital S.
You've just reminded me something. It's like Caldwell must dump himself in that much, like, oil before the game. He looks slick.
On the olive skin, yeah. And then he gets rosy cheeks because he's just run so hard. He's a beautiful looking man. Yeah, gorgeous.
Yeah, I still think our balance is a bit weird. Like Caldwell, Hobbs, Parrish, and now Durham, with the emergence of Durham, although I think he's a very adaptable player, but he's awesome in the middle. We have too many of the same type of players. You have to do something. And for me, at the moment, it's Parrish, because I'm still willing to give Hobbs a go.
I'm happy with that, mate.
That's pretty much it. I don't think you can really fit in Caddy, which is a real shame because I want to see him. Wiedemann, no. Hind, no. That's...
Yeah.
She'll probably not ready yet.
Why can't we just bring in Menzies, Fitsardis, and then... I don't know. Maybe we even say to Parrish, go up forward.
And... Yeah, bring back to his old stomping ground there.
Yeah that's right. Frank. When he first started.
Yeah.
All right. So you said how many points? 3, Fiona, or 4?
I said a loss by 4. And I would go in unchanged. And I'd just switch Menzies and Hind.
What did you have?
Unchanged otherwise.
Unchanged?
Mm-hmm.
Winsock 2000.
I think we win. I'm very positive going into this game, unusually. And I think we're going to win by 22.
I'd be happy with that.
Architect?
Again, I think we're going to win. I think we'll win by 18.
Yeah, I think we win by 24.
Why do I feel like you guys are just sucked in again? This is just deja vu.
I reckon Brad Scott will be acutely focused on the yo-yo nature of the start of our season.
Yeah.
And be really challenging the players to put in 2 weeks of effort. So I think that will help. Yeah.
But I also think they got cooked in the coach's box last week too. So it wasn't just the players. Like, they had a much better coaching job on Friday night this week. So it was an all-rounder. So all being right, we should just carbon copy, you know? I know you have to plan for the team you're playing, but we should just copy and paste.
Hmm.
Like, Kelly has absolutely towered up Rankin in the past, along with Charlie Cameron and Heaney. Kelly should get that automatic Rankin matchup when he's not in the midfield. Caldwell should go to him when he's in the midfield.
Yep.
Like, it should just be a copy and paste of the positions, of the directive, and Davey will be better for the run of a full game. So hopefully he's a little bit more, he gets off to a faster start than he did on Friday night. So, you know.
Parrish will be Parrish's 4th game back, so he's more likely to be getting into it now.
Oh, God.
All right, well, we're strangely... No, not strangely positive. We're positive again.
If it meant and we then, had to lose next week to win Anzac Day, are you all taking that bet?
I'm snapping my hand off.
In a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thought
I'm sick of this shit of losing Anzac Day.
Yeah. It's been a couple of... How many? 3-4 years now, yeah? That we haven't won one.
Feels like we haven't won one since the Zaharakis moment. That's
no.
How it feels. I know it hasn't been that long, but...
It's the Danaher one. Was...
Yes, you're right. Yep.
Yeah.
Picking that long bomb from the middle, from the centre square. Yeah, I remember it. Yeah. But that's got to be 5 years, easily. Has to be.
Longer,
maybe
isn't it?
Maybe before COVID, actually. Yeah.
I thought you meant Terry Danaher. That's how long it been. All right. Well, on that note... I didn't do a song of the week, but I think I'm going to reboot the first song I did, which is the medley on all the new players, which was Mackay, can't remember the order, Mackay, Dersma, Goldie and Gresham. So I'll just reboot that. So I think they all played well.
Gresham had a lovely, lovely rundown tackle. Very good rundown tackle.
Yeah, yeah, there was one moment where he was like the rabbit in the headlights. Yeah, players everywhere that he could have given it to.
Oh,
too many options.
For no one.
Too many options.
Yeah. Yeah. He was like, oh my God. And then he turned his head and then bang.
Way too much time to think.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll play that. Check out something about Cake. Oh, I will say I'm on a boys' trip this weekend. So I don't know whether we'll do the podcast or it might be late. Or maybe you guys are going to have to fly solo. You're going to have to do a Jason Derulo. And,
God help us.
Yeah. And do it yourself.
What do you mean? You're the host. You have to run it. You need to check in wherever you are, in whatever condition, drunk.
That's right. If Jez can dial in from the sewage right. works, you can dial in from your weekend away.
Yeah, true.
Exactly. You're the host. You have to put in more effort.
True. I feel so bad Jez sleeping in his car these days. Things really have turned to...
It's his own making. He married a Carlton supporter, all right?
Yeah, true. All right. Well, on that note, anyway, we'll work out next week. But look, check out the sponsor, Something About Cake. Thanks to everyone that listened. Oh, by the way, people, like and subscribe. Like and subscribe. Even though most listeners seem to be listening on the apps, not on the pod, not on the YouTube channel. But get on the YouTube channel and like it. And subscribe, because I said if we get enough subscriptions, then we can get super chats, $2 super chats. Which is my one goal in life.
What's a super chat?
A super chat, excuse me, is when you have a live, so I have to do live podcasts. You do a live podcast and people like pay $2 to like make a comment. So we could like have 10 comments and make like $20.
Solution, I'm sure you could just go and open an OnlyFans right account.
Yeah, that's going to go well, mate. Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, like and subscribe. Tell your friends. Thanks to everyone that listened, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Go Bombers.
Ben, the two of us need look no more. You're the Batman we were looking for. You'll win all your one-on-ones, for you are mighty strong. Zerk was way too skinny, but you're 104 kgs. When I heard that we were losing Zerk, just when he became good, what a jerk. Port Adelaide wanted to give us nothing, didn't ya? We gave Zerk and the fourth and fifth and other such rubbish future picks. In return you gave us Xavier Dersma. Xavier Dersma. Xavier Dersma. Xavier Dersma. Xavier Dersma. If your legs don't work like they used to before, and you can't quite jump off your feet, will you still win a hit out to advantage? Will you still get fans off the seat? So Todd, you're wearing red and black now, number 17. You come our second ruck, just like Phillips was in 2023. But I'm thinking about how people come to Essendon in different ways. Some get drafted when they're young. You've come to us at the end of your days, but I reckon you'll still have lots of fun. So Todd Goldstein, mark the ball with your giant arms. Help teach all our young stars in close games to keep calm. I'm thinking out loud, maybe you've found love right where you are. We are fried, though it's only pre-season. We could look sharper if we tried. In the hangar walks Jay Gresham, new small forward superstar. If you get in the goals this season, you'll help us go far. Cause didn't you know you'd be playing for the Essendon Bombers? Nobody ever told you that you prepared for the Essendon Bombers. Be kicking and kicking and kicking goals.